A high-level meeting will take place in Washington on Monday to build political momentum to improve nutrition for women and children. The gathering, hosted by aid organizations Concern Worldwide and Bread for the World, is entitled 1,000 Days to Scale Up Nutrition for Mothers and Children. Ahead of the event, Lydia O'Kane spoke to the chief executive of Concern Worldwide, Tom Arnold.
We think in this day and age that everyone has enough food to go around, but that certainly doesn't seem to be the case when we have these meetings going on. How serious an issue is it?
Well, this is a critical issue because the reality is, and there's huge evidence to support this, that if a child during the first 1,000 days of life, that is from pregnancy of the mother to 2 years of age, is not adequately nourished, there is actually inadequate development of the brain and the body. So a child that is inadequately nourished during these first 1,000 days will be stunted, and that stunting leads to an inability to learn, and it has physical effects as well. So it's of enormous consequences, and there are many countries in Africa, at least quite a number, where up to 50% of children are stunted. So they're really, their whole future is compromised. So what we're saying, and what a lot of people are saying now through this movement, Scaling Up Nutrition, is that governments need to put a lot more focus on ensuring that there is adequate nutrition during those first 1,000 days. It's an investment in children and it's an investment in the future of each country.
You were talking about countries there, and you were talking about continent as in Africa. Is that the primary zone of what you're talking about?
Well, Africa certainly is one of the two continents that have a serious problem in this regard. Not every country in Africa, but quite a few. Strangely enough, a country like India has a serious child undernutrition problem as well. Up to 40% of the world's undernourished children live in India. And there are other countries in South Asia that also have a serious problem. So I think it's basically any country that has a really serious problem here needs to take action. And that action needs to be obviously led by the government, but it can't be by the government on its own. And that's where the SUN movement, Scaling Up Nutrition movement, is bringing together both governments, non-governmental organizations, private sector and foundations to work together in a coordinated way to tackle this problem of early childhood nutrition.
I mean, how much support have you had and how much support do you hope to gain from this initiative?
Well, there's a lot of support, and the support is growing. Firstly, there's at least 100 organizations, as I said, different from governments to NGOs to the private sector, who have signed up to the principle of the SUN movement. It's been led, I think, very effectively by Dr. David Nabarro, who's the UN Secretary General's Special Representative on Food Security and Nutrition. And so there's a lot of people working towards this common cause. Why we are holding this meeting in Washington on the 13th of June. It's co-hosted by Concern Worldwide and by Bread for the World, a leading U.S. NGO. And the focus there is bringing together many of the key civil society leaders, particularly in the countries that are making some progress in this area. So to compare notes, to show what progress is being made, and really to send people away with a further passion and commitment to do more in this field.
Food security has become a huge issue, hasn't it? And also food prices. Many countries have been up in arms about not being able to afford. We've had protests with regard to food and food prices. If the food security in general is a serious issue.
It's become a huge issue particularly in the last number of years. And it was when, in 2007, 2008, when food prices really spiked, they went up very significantly, that it led to food riots in over 30 countries. Now, subsequent to 2008, from about mid-2008 on, food prices began to fall, helped along, of course, by the global recession. But from about mid-2010, food prices have been rising again. And food prices now in 2011 are actually higher than they were in 2008. So there's a huge issue, I think, for governments because there's great uncertainty about food prices going forward. And some of the reasons for that uncertainty are things like climate change. What effect is climate change going to have on food production and therefore on food prices? So the world is beginning and increasingly taking the issue of food security more seriously. There's a meeting in November in France, the G20 meeting, this new grouping of the 20 most powerful nations in the globe, and food price variability and food prices is actually one of the key features, the key issues being discussed at that meeting. So food prices are right back on the agenda, and everybody needs to take it more seriously.
I just wanted to come back just for a moment to the issue of women and children and hunger in that sense. With regard to a lot of the violence that's going on in some countries where we're seeing a lot of displacement, where we're seeing a lot of people moving around, this obviously must cause a lot of problems for women and young children when there's a lack of security in a country and people are having to flee.
Well, the security, once you get security breakdowns, frequently it is women and children who suffer the most. But even in countries where you don't have, where you have just, without the violence, you just have food insecurity, there's an old saying that women eat least and eat last. And that's the reality, that in many cases, with the higher food prices, the quality of families' nutrition has diminished. They're eating less, and they're eating less good quality diets. So the long-term impact of higher food prices on, you know, generating more underweight children, more stunted children, is really a very, very serious issue. And I think the world generally needs to take a lot more proactive measures to deal with it.
Finally, just what do you believe will come out of this 1,000 Days of Partnership meeting? What are you hoping to achieve at the end of it?
I'm hoping that, as I said, particularly the people who are there, from the leaders of civil society, will go away from that meeting reinforced in their commitment to do something about this. And also that, you know, they will have placed before them a number of, if you like, best examples of how this is beginning to make real progress in a number of countries. And that, ideally with governmental leadership. But this needs to become, if you like, a global movement. And that really is the purpose that we're trying to generate, that level of excitement and urgency, that this is an issue that governments and people need to just take very seriously and bring about change.